Now, a lot of us will be getting together with relatives at least one more time during the holiday season, and that means sharing old family stories, the kind that might have been told many times before. Some of us might roll our eyes at a story we've heard for years, but research shows that for children, learning those family stories can have a big upside, helping to connect them to their history and create a sense of identity. Cynthia Blakely is a professor of interdisciplinary studies at Emory University. Her areas of research include memory, memoir, and narrative. Cynthia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, you and your colleagues have worked on this topic. Before we get to the specifics, can you give us a big picture, what you see as the benefits, especially for kids, hearing those old family stories?
There are many benefits, really, and some of the ones that are most clear from the research are that children really develop a sense of belonging when they hear these stories, a connection to something larger than themselves, and they tend to have greater resilience, better family functioning, less anxiety, less depression. The benefits to children really are pretty clear in the research.
Well, I want to get an example. And in a recent piece in the Wall Street Journal looking at this, you shared some of your own family's experience. You and I think your daughter were both in the same piece.
That's right.
What was the story that you shared as an example?
I shared the example of my mother overcoming a lot of obstacles in her adult life, really. She had a very secure childhood, but a hard adult life that included alcoholism and anxiety. My father died when I was a teenager, and she was a waitress, and a seamstress. She didn't make very much money. I think she really kind of lost her way for a while, but in her 50s, she started going to AA. She decided to go to college and started attending college courses and ended up developing a career through helping other people. And at 60, she got her first white collar job as a social worker, helping the elderly needy on Cape Cod, which is where I grew up in Massachusetts. And she said to me more than once that from 60 to 78 were the best years of her life. She felt professional and happy and contributing. And I found it incredibly inspiring. And I often tell my students, don't stress if your trajectory isn't a straight shot.
That's interesting. And I could see where that story could definitely be inspiring when we encounter adversity in our own lives. There are also those family stories that are, you know, just kind of goofy anecdotes and incidents that may not have a moral or a value. Are those also worth passing along and regaling the kids with year after year?
Oh, absolutely. I think that brings some of the joy into being part of a family, into a child's life. And there are lots of stories like that that one could tell. And they might have hidden values that aren't immediately clear on the outset. But, you know, I think it's wonderful to tell any kind of story because it helps the child to have a sense of belonging to a group, to a family, and a family that not only includes the immediate relatives, but those who came before him or her.
Talking to Cynthia Blakely from Emory University, looking at the way we share family stories. Maybe when we get together at the holidays, you can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Do you have this? Do you have this kind of tradition where, you know, an old anecdote, maybe it's something inspiring about a particular relative, maybe it's just some goofy incident that happened at a past gathering. Whatever it is there something you tell again and again, especially to the next generation? Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard Cynthia from Ellen on Facebook, who says there's tons of value in telling family stories. It's history, culture, and it teaches the youngsters how to be storytellers. Win-win, Ellen says. How about that last point, teaching younger people how to share stories themselves?
You know, telling stories, and again, the research shows that the more that parents tell stories to their children, the better children become at telling stories about themselves. It's a kind of narrative art that can be passed on. And children who are able to tell stories about themselves tend to have a greater sense of who they are and their place in the world. And they have greater self-confidence. They have better learning outcomes. And fewer behavioral problems. So the way you tell a story and the frequency with which you tell family stories has a very positive effect on children.
I've talked to people on the show who have said that doing things like reading novels can be really good for us. They help build our sense of empathy. They help us step outside ourselves and understand the perspectives of other people here. Does this family oral tradition accomplish maybe a similar thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another story I sometimes tell is of my grandmother, who was abandoned by her mother and moved into her grandparents' home, but was ultimately put in an orphanage. And even though she had two living parents and grandparents, and she ended up in her later life taking care of foster children. She took in 17 foster children,
wow,
in addition to her own three biological children, over 3 decades. Of course, it wasn't all at once by any stretch, but she really took care of other children in the way that she had not been taken care of. And I found that a very redemptive tale, and it helped me to understand her reticence in offering affection or praise. And it, I think, gave me more generosity in my own attitudes toward her and realizing that she loved us in the very best way that she could.
You know, it's interesting when I think about it, we've had writing as humans for, what, 6,000 years, and even then not most of us. But we've had storytelling for hundreds of thousands of years. In a way, passing these stories on orally is kind of way more core of what we are as humans, right?
I think it's the way the brain structures itself, that that we don't know who we are outside of stories. And that the brain thinks in terms of stories. And so the best way to get, quote unquote, facts across is through telling a story.
Now, sometimes I think people will share the stories of the old times to say, you kids these days, you have it easy. Like, that ends up being the moral of stories passed from generation to generation. Is that helpful in any way, or is that something we should maybe steer clear of?
I don't think it's helpful to attach stories from, say, your grandparents' past to what might be construed as criticism of children. I think that really backfires, actually. I think it's much better to simply share a story of one's own early hardship as a parent or grandparent without implying that, gosh, you have it so lucky now. And that the child is smart enough to eventually come to his or her own conclusions about what that story suggests about life, including her own life. So, no, I would never tell a story that includes an implicit or explicit criticism of a child.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Michelle is with us in Janesville. Michelle, hi.
Hi. So my family keeps a quote book, and we just write down silly quotes or silly things that have happened throughout our day-to-day lives. And then usually the quote book just gets buried for a few months, but then at family gatherings we bring it out and we'll pick a few quotes from maybe 20 years ago and
wow,
reread the quote, laugh hysterically, and then it ends up into a family story.
That's fantastic. Do any stand out for you, Michelle, that you would care to share with us? I know you may not have the book right in front of you right now.
Oh, I have lots. So hopefully my son's not listening. He's 17 now, but when he came home from school in first grade, he said, "Mom, we learned a new song in music class today, and you need a guitar and a tangerine." And we all said, "A tangerine?" He's like, "You know, that thing that you hit on your hip and it makes a clapping sound." So, yeah. And then we just remember other funny things from when he was in first grade.
Michelle, thank you so much for sharing that. I love that idea, the family quote book, and then they can go back 20 days or 20 years, Cynthia.
I think it's brilliant, actually, Michelle. One of the things I encourage my students is to write things down. We think we're going to remember really funny things or insights that we suddenly have about family dynamics or a fascinating story of a grandparent. But if we don't write it down, the chances are we will forget it. So I love the fact that you keep this quote book. I think it's a really valuable resource.
Thank you so much for that story, Michelle. Cynthia, that idea that we're going to forget stuff, have we, you know, you think of like, you know, the bards in Ireland or the people telling the story of the Iliad in ancient Greece or Native American storytellers being able to tell these long epics by memory. Are we losing our muscle? Are we getting wimpy when it comes to remembering stories?
I think we are. And one of the reasons those stories were remembered is because they were repeated. And that's something that is very clear, again, in the research, that repetition is really important to remembering. We remember what we talk about, and we forget often what we don't talk about. And so, and social media makes it harder as well. It makes it both easier and harder. So you have this digital record of certain stories, but it's a bit more fragmented. And I don't know, I don't think it quite replaces the handwritten word.
We're talking to Cynthia Blakely right now, professor of interdisciplinary studies at Emory University. We're talking about the benefits of telling and retelling family stories, maybe during the holidays, especially for the benefit of younger relatives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that hearing stories from older relatives when you were a kid was valuable? Do you still remember those stories? Do you still share them? When you have a family get-together, do you have some way of recounting what happened last year, last decade, last generation? Did you not want to hear these when you were a kid, but glad you did now that you've grown up? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Cynthia Blakely from Emory University about the importance and the fun of sharing family stories with younger relatives, maybe something you can do when you get together with family over the holidays. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you do this in your family? Do you have that story or stories that are retold maybe every year at Christmas or whenever you gather with family members? Is this a tradition you'd like to start or maybe bring back if you used to do it? Do you remember stories from when you were a kid? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dave joins us now in Silver Lake. Dave, hello.
Hi there. I'm a 33-year-old teacher. I've been teaching for, I'm coming up on a decade, and something struck me in what you guys were talking about how she said that she would never use a story to condescend to children or try to teach a lesson to the children through a story, using it as a negative context. And through my teacher training, like, I learned that as well. Like, you should never do that. You should be teaching kids through positivity and only through positivity. But as an adult, I remember back to my childhood and frequently getting that. And as an adult with my own kids, I find myself having to hold back from doing that. I guess, how do we as a culture teach each other to not do that? And I guess, like, it's only like a building up kind of thing, but that's my question, I guess. I'm sorry, it's extremely broad.
No, Dave, thanks. That's really interesting. And I'm guessing Dave's not alone, Cynthia. Dave wants to break that cycle of the, you know, criticizing the next generation through stories.
You know, it's so hard, Dave, to realize that what you feel you need to say as a parent is not always what the child needs to hear. So, and sometimes you want to just say, listen, you have no clue how great you have it. But that's not really what they need to hear. What they need to hear, in my perspective, is something more like, you know, it was pretty hard for me when I was a kid, and I am so happy that we can make your life a little bit easier than mine was, because I wouldn't want you to go through all of those things that I went through. Or, I mean, it's not all negative, of course, but when it comes to that comparison of hardships, I don't know. It's really an accomplishment to be able to restrain oneself from saying those things. And I think parents find themselves at that juncture often. And it's just important to remember, what do kids need to hear? And that's more important than what I as a parent sometimes need to say.
Dave, thank you so much for that call. I appreciate it. We'll go back to our callers now. Deb is with us in Madison. Deb, hi.
Hi. I wanted to say that my grandmother was born in 1902 and lived to be 101. And I'm 68, so I was a while back. And she was a keeper of all the stories. And so at one point I said, when she was in her late 90s, I said, let's get those stories written down. And because she had lived through, of course, she lived through World War One. Her husband was a pilot in World War One, and she lived through the Depression, and she lost her mother through the Spanish flu epidemic of 1917-1918. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down, and over a span of time, she wrote the stories, and I gave her full editing rights. And there were a couple that she wanted left out, so I left them out. And then I said, I know your favorite color is blue, so we put them on some blue paper, and with her permission, I gave one to every member of the family.
Wow.
And then she and I also worked on putting together pictures, you know, old pictures of everyone, Aunt Gussie that she always talked about. You know, we labeled them and have a book of all the older relatives as well.
Deb, thank you so much. What a story. Cynthia, talk about, not everybody's going to go through quite the effort that Deb did, but that the effort of actually consciously collecting stories, maybe from an older relative.
You know, I encourage my students every semester to do that, to conduct an oral history with grandparents, with parents, aunts, uncles. Deb, I think it's phenomenal that you took the time to do that. And I bet you're like me and learn things about your grandmother and your grandfather that you didn't know. And that's one thing I tell my students. We don't know what we don't know about a grandparent or a parent. And we have to remind ourselves they had full lives before we came into the picture. And I think it's wonderful both for the grandchild and for the grandparent, because I think we all want to be known in some way. And one of the best ways to be known is to not only tell a story, but to have that story heard. An interested and empathic listener is really crucial to the telling of stories. And it sounds like you were that for her, Deb. And that was a real gift. She gave you a gift, but you also gave a real gift to her.
Deb, thanks for that call. We're talking to Cynthia Blakely from Emory University about the importance of sharing family stories, especially for the younger generation, maybe over the holidays. We'll go back to your calls now. Cindy is with us in Baraboo. Cindy, hi.
Hi. One thing that we started about 18 years ago was a Thanksgiving tablecloth, and everybody who is invited at Thanksgiving writes on the Thanksgiving tablecloth of the previous year, whether it be bad or good or something they experienced. And we find every year that we bring that out, people sit down and they just look all over that tablecloth for what was written and who was written about what, and when they were younger, who they were dating and they're not dating anymore. And so it becomes a family history of what we've done over the years and had people sitting at our table.
So you have a big collection now, Cindy, of these tablecloths?
Well, I've actually added on to that original tablecloth.
That one will never
go away.
Gotcha. I see. Cindy, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a creative idea, Cynthia.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal. I've never heard that one before. And that's a perfect example of establishing a family tradition. And it can be goofy or fun, but to have the actual tradition does so much for children, because that's what our family does. Our family writes down on this tablecloth. It's a way of belonging, identifying. I think it's phenomenal.
Thanks so much. Time for one more caller. Jacob is with us in Wausau. Jacob, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Jacob?
It's not really quite family, but a group of my college friends, one of my really good friends from college, he compiles kind of all of our photos and videos from the previous year and puts them in a really well-productive piece of film, basically. And it kind of branches off to storytelling. And usually he compiles it together and shows it on a Friendsgiving. And I know she had mentioned earlier about social media kind of making it difficult to do that kind of stuff. But I think it kind of all depends on how you use that medium to do that.
Cool, Jacob. Thanks. So friends, not family in this case, and using social media as the raw material to build the story, Cynthia.
Yes, I think that's absolutely one of the ways in which we develop stories about ourselves and who we are in the world, and that social media brings so much to the table in helping us to feel connected with people that we knew a long time ago, that we still know. And that sense of continuity over time and connections in the community, are both of those things are so important to our sense of identity and our sense of belonging in the world. So I would agree with you, Jacob.
Jacob, thanks a lot for that call. And Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Cynthia Blakely is a professor of interdisciplinary studies at Emory University. Her research areas include memoir, memory, and narrative. She joined us to talk about the benefits of sharing family stories during the holidays, especially for our younger relatives. You can keep sharing your stories about your stories over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.